Welcome to E-commerce with Coffee, a podcast powered by Amber Engine, where we share e-com secrets for brands over your favorite brew. We start with the caffeine and then leap enthusiastically into behind-the-scenes e-com insights that led to the success of our guests. I'm Nate Svoboda, and I'm about to serve you up the best. Let's get started. Welcome to today's episode of E-commerce with Coffee. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Quinn Amorim. He is the founder of Prolific Zone, which is an agency that works with startups, professional Amazon sellers, and even international e-com companies. Plus, he's actually the host of two of his own podcasts, QA Selling Online, and I believe the Fail Fast podcast, both of which I've listened to. They're really, really good, so definitely check them out. And today we're going to be chatting about, you know, how a startup versus more established companies should be thinking about their Amazon strategy and e-commerce strategy more generally. So anyway, Quinn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Nate. It's a pleasure.
I'm really excited to chat with you today. But, you know, before we get started, I know you're a busy guy. I imagine that caffeine's got to play a role in your life. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, it is.
Are you a coffee drinker or a tea drinker?
Well, everything. Coffee, tea, and caffeine pills.
Okay. See, I've found those are nice for, you know, if you don't have the time to actually have a drink. I definitely like having those.
Yeah, I always have them here on my desk with me just for that reason. Sometimes I'm into the work and I don't want to stop, but I need that, you know, that extra... Got extra caffeine, so I'll take a pill, but mostly it's coffee.
Nope, I hear that. Sometimes, you know, the 2 o'clock rolls around and you just need something to get you through the last push of the day. But really, yeah. Really cool. Well, hey, excited to chat today. Before we dive into the meat of the content, though, you've been selling online for a long time, right? You got your started, if I'm not mistaken, selling on eBay. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, what selling online before it was cool was like.
Well, it wasn't cool. So, I mean, it was just because every year that went by, everything was new, right? So if you look back now, things were not as exciting as they are now. But at that particular time, that's what we had. So it was 24 years ago. It was 1997, towards the end of 97. And it was completely different than now. Like, Nate, we used to get paid with checks, right, for selling something online. So somebody would send us a check before we even shipped the item. So things have changed so much. Just thinking about that particular one, but getting paid with checks. Now you get your product delivered to you. In most cases, if you live in, you know, in a city in the U.S. or something, you get it delivered to you the same day. Now, this didn't happen, right? Imagine it could take 2 weeks for me to get the check from that customer. Then the product itself would take probably 4 just to get. So we're looking at least 2 months for a fast delivery, right? So,
oh my gosh. Consumer expectations have definitely shifted that.
exactly. Oh, and I say 1 month for delivery because I was selling to the U.S., but I was in Europe. I was based in Europe, in Portugal. So, but I mean, it wasn't much faster from the U.S. to the U.S.
So then would you say that that's been like the biggest change you've seen between back then and today in terms of, you know, focusing on digital commerce?
The biggest, yes. The shipping times, the way you get paid, absolutely day and night from back then.
So then, you know, thinking about your work today and the work that your teams do, right? There are a lot of routes available to market, right? You can have a Shopify store, you can sell on Amazon, you can go after other marketplaces. How does a brand or someone starting out in e-com make the decision of where to focus, you know, their time, their effort, and their resources?
Well, I'm biased towards Amazon. I really love Amazon, but I'm everywhere. But every case is a case, right? So it depends on what your brand is, what you're selling. And in the majority of cases, I know that Amazon is the easiest. It's the low-hanging fruit, right? They have, in North America, 300-something million customers that already have their credit cards on file. So it's just the one click to buy your product. But I have seen brands, and I was spoken at an event this weekend, and we did mention that Walmart, they are growing. They are putting a lot of effort into their platform. And there are some, depending, for example, the brand that we talked about was the client is of an older age, so above 50. And they buy more on Walmart than on Amazon for that brand because they built a trust over the years with Walmart, and to them, to Walmart, going to the store, and they know that, you know, this physical location is there, while they're probably not so used to Amazon. So it depends what it is, but my personal opinion, you can go everywhere, right? A Shopify store starts at $29.99 per month. So if you can launch your brand on Shopify, and anywhere that you do launch it, my advice is do it professionally. So if you cannot do a professional looking Shopify store, in that case, it's better not to do it, right? Because people do go back and forth. If they're on, sometimes find your Shopify store, they go to Walmart or Amazon to check you out, or the other way around. And if your store is not professional, they will lose the trust and that client is gone. So
no, that's true.
Do it right.
It's people always talk about how important it is with Shopify because it's easier to tell your unique brand story, right? But to your point, you need, if you're going to go in on Shopify, you need to go all in. But I've heard you talk before that, and you just said it again, on Amazon, the traffic is already there and it already has the intent to buy. And so even if you don't put all of your products on Amazon, you know, every company should at least be thinking about, you know, how they want to play with Amazon. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, specifically Prolific Zone, you know, what your teams do and, you know, what most of the brands you work with come to you for?
Yes. So basically, it could be a new brand that wants to start selling on Amazon, on Walmart, or their own store, or brands that have been around for 10, 20 years, and now, because they were more focused on the retail for the last, imagine, the last 20 years. And now they realized, COVID was an eye-opener for a lot of people. But a lot of brands realized, you know what, we are losing market share, and we have to, it's not even a pivot. You can do both. You keep your retail the way you were doing, and that's what brands come to us to take over their online side of things. Right, instead of going through the learning curve, because we have to deal with algorithms, and it's different than, imagine you have a product that you're selling on Walmart on the shelves or on Target. People walk past that shelf and they will see it, the product on the shelf, and now there's your chance right there. Those 3 seconds is your chance to sell that product. Online, the whole world can see your products, but as you know, Nate, if you're not on those first 8 positions on Amazon or even on Google, if you're not on that first page, people are not going to find you. So it's in that one, in that sense, it's harder than retail, because if people don't see you, they will not buy you. And in retail, if you're on a shelf, somebody will walk past that shelf eventually.
You know, I don't know if you've ever heard this joke before, but you know what they say, best place to hide a dead body is?
Yes, I heard.
The second place, second page of Google search results.
And it's true. It is true. Right. And on Amazon, it's the first, on a desktop, first 8 positions. 4 of them are sponsored, so they're paying to be there. The other 4 are there organically. And so most of the times, one of the first 4 that's paying to be there is there organically as well. And that has a relation. There's a reason why that happens, right?
Right.
It's conversions and relevancy.
So, you know, Prolific Zone, you guys do kind of the whole gamut, right? A to Z for a brand. Now,
yes.
I would imagine, and from what I've heard, you know, there are a lot of unique skills that are not super prevalent in the marketplace yet, but, you know, it's so important to have these people with these skill sets, you know, who know how to do Shopify, who know how to work with Amazon, who know how to merchandise products online. You know, and I would imagine that between the technology tools that need to be invested in, the actual personnel themselves, You know, if you could spitball for us, how much could a startup really reasonably expect to have to invest, you know, when just getting started up, whether it's, you know, in Shopify, on Amazon, both? What are your thoughts?
You know, I get asked this a lot. So for that reason, I did put some thought into it, and I was trying to debate, like, how much would somebody need? And every category would be different, right? The size of the product that you're trying to get into is gonna change the budget that you need. For example, for shipping, and this is the worst time ever for shipping. It's the most expensive that it's been in maybe ever. So if you have a bigger product, your shipping costs per unit are going to be a lot bigger. A competition, for example, a lot of people forget that the competition is going to dictate how much you need to have to launch a product, because you have to compete against them in marketing. And for example, on Amazon, the most common ads are the PPC, so pay-per-click. So your competitors, if they have a bigger brand than you, or if they have a bigger budget than you, that's more like it. Now, they can outbid you on your clicks, right? And then if you try to catch up, you can lose a lot of money trying to catch up with that competition. So, I mean, I know there could be a round number, meaning to sell online or to start selling online. Somebody can start with 50, somebody can start with 5,000, or there could be a brand that starts with, you know, 500,000. It's just, you get to where you're going faster the bigger the budget, but it still is possible to start with $5,000 to start a business online, right? You get a couple thousand dollars worth of product. You have to pay for the shipping of that product. You need to save a couple grand for your launch and marketing those products, because like I said, when you launch it, even if you have the best product in the world, if you are on page 2 or page 10, you're not going to sell because nobody will find you, right? So unless it's your friends that you ask them to go find your product, those are the only ones that will find it. So you need to have marketing. That's very important.
No, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people that I've spoken with, you know, they say, you know, we got to focus on the listing optimization because you have to optimize content before you drive traffic to it. And then there's other people that really, you know, they focus on getting higher, you know, getting better PPC, pardon me, getting more traffic to your pages. You know, I guess in your opinion, are there certain pieces of an Amazon strategy that brands should start with first, right? Like, where should somebody really begin this journey? Because there's a lot of pieces that have to be put into the puzzle.
All right. So one of the things that the most important things, most people know this, but they don't even know how important it is. It's that main image. So images are always important because people buy with their eyes, right? If they like what they see, they may buy it. But even if you have the best product in the world, like I said earlier, but if your images are terrible, you may lose a client there. But that main image does more than just sell when people click on it. That main image is converted to a thumbnail by Amazon. And when you perform a search, that's what they're going to see. They will see the main image, the thumbnail of the main image, and your title. So those things are so important because it's going to get your CTR, right? Your click-through rate. If somebody likes the image or some words on the title, that's what's going to get them to click on your listing. And that's the only chance they have of buying your product is clicking on your listing. And then the content inside the listing, although super important, is secondary, because if they have to click on that image first to get to it. And of course, now you have that image and six more that you can use to try to sell to them. So those are super important. Of course, then there's the other things that are the product quality, for example. If your product is not quality, or if it doesn't have at least perceived quality, those people are not going to leave the good reviews that you need to get social proof. Social proof is another thing that's going to be taken into consideration when somebody performed a search. Like if somebody searches for Bluetooth speakers and you see this listing that has 5-star rating and 120,000 reviews, because there is such thing, it's very rare, but 120,000 reviews, and the one next to it has, even if it has a 5-star rating as well, but it has 3 reviews, even if the one that has 120,000 is a little bit more expensive, socially people are attracted to go buy where everybody else has bought, and they will go for that one. So that social proof with the main image and the listing, all the combination of that is going to give you these impressions that you want. It's going to give you the clicks to your listing so people can buy your product. So those are the top things, I would say.
No, absolutely. And I mean, to your point, even when I go and shop on Amazon, I always filter by the reviews. And, you know, sometimes I have to question the truth to them. But I think it's very, very critical for people to focus on that. So, you know, thinking about capturing reviews and even just more so, you know, tools Amazon gives sellers, how can a brand continue promoting themselves realistically, whether that's, you know, through sponsored products? Maybe you could speak to how that process works, or, you know, what are some of the things brands can do once they're up and running to continue promoting themselves?
Okay, that's a good one. And it's good that you said continue, because some brands think that you have to launch, you do a good launch and that's it. And then when you get to the first position, if you're lucky enough to get to the first position of a search, then you're done. And you're not, right? Because somebody else is going to try to come and take your lunch, and that you will never keep the first place, because that is the number of sales, how fast you get the sales, the conversion rate, the relevancy of your product to a certain keyword. All those factors are what's going to keep you on top. So maintaining and keeping a marketing strategy is super important, even if you are first. And one of the ways to do it is external marketing. So you don't have to do everything on Amazon, right? There's on Amazon, you have sponsored products, sponsored brands, where you can do video ads that, depending on your type of product, for example, if you're in skincare, you want to have video ads, right? You need to have beautiful smiley faces on your ads. That's very important. For other products, it's, well, I guess each case is a case, so test what's best for you. For some, because everything is search-based on Amazon, right? Even though there's categories, nobody goes to buy shoes. Nobody goes in to find a category or whatever. They'll just type shoes for men or something like that and then go look through them. So everything has is search-based. So in most cases, those campaigns perform better. But I guess each case is a different case. When it comes to the external one, having influencers is incredible. It's so powerful, using what they already built, use their fame or their influence to direct traffic to your Amazon listing. Now, this influencer, depending on how big they are, they want to get paid. Some of them are happy just with getting the free product, and then their affiliate link to Amazon, well, they get another 4% or 6% of everything they sold. Some of them want, you know, $200, $1,000, depends. And now if you're dealing with the Kardashians, they want $250,000 or something like that. But it works if they are real influencers, right? So don't be fooled by the fake traffic and the likes and those fake comments on Instagram, TikTok, and all that. Real influencers will bring real sales. And those are also, everything is measured through any algorithm that we can think of, Facebook, Amazon, Walmart. And that's gonna give you a boost, knowing that external traffic is coming to your listing. And then on top of that, if they are converting, Amazon will love you and they will bring your listing to the top. So,
and I would imagine that with the rise of like TikTok, for example, you know, the ability to even get like micro influencers, I know is a term people are using. Like, I imagine that that even just presents so even much even greater opportunity than there was.
Yes, with micro influencers, you don't have to actually pay them anything up front. With the product itself, most people don't even know they are micro influencers. That's the beauty of it. When you approach somebody, right? First, if you want to approach somebody as a micro influencer, don't even tell them they're a micro influencer. Just tell them, like, I found you, and you know what? I was wondering if I sent you my product, if you will share it on your TikTok, your Instagram, and YouTube. YouTube still works, because remember something, TikTok, Instagram, they will slowly disappear into the infinite amount of things that happen all the time. While on YouTube, your video or that influencer, micro-influencer video will remain there, searchable, right? So you can still search for, I mean, if, let's go with skincare. If you're searching for skincare on YouTube, those skincare videos will still be there, will still be shown to this person. And for that reason, it is relevant to them, because that's what they're searching for. While on Instagram, not everything is relevant to whoever's seeing it, right? Because nobody goes there to look for skincare. They just go there to look at exciting pictures of celebrities and stuff like that. So,
well, then plus you get tons of great user-generated content from all of the conversations that happen and all sorts of that great stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. And let me just add something else. Influencer, micro-influencer or not, you can use their, if they give you a video and you have permission to use that video, you can use it now on your site. So if you have a Shopify site, you can use that on your site. Of course, ask them through email or send them something to sign or whatever. And if you have a ton of them, you can even do a collage of videos and then run an ad with, you know, all different people, like a split second of each saying something. But yeah, it's that again, social proof.
You know, I love that. And every time I see one of those videos, I definitely feel a bit more compelled to check those products out. So, you know, we've talked about pay-per-click a lot so far in this conversation. Now, thinking about some of the clients that, you know, you've either, or the businesses that you've even been in yourself and you've dealt with this, you know, what are some of the hardest lessons that you've seen either yourself or another brand learned when investing in PPC campaigns?
Oh, wow. So, man, I've seen so many lessons over the years. I've learned so many lessons. One of the most important one, I always try to tell people that you need to know that PPC is not the only reason you're doing it, is not to get sales. It's also to get conversions to a certain keyword. So every time, if you create an ad for the word Bluetooth speaker, right, and you're bidding, I don't know, for a keyword like that, you're probably bidding 13, 14 bucks or something like that. If somebody clicks on your ad, it's going to cost you those 14 bucks, but if they buy it, now they convert to that keyword, to that search term, so it made you more relevant to it. You gained a sale, but that wasn't the only thing. You gained relevancy, therefore your organic with one is not going to grow, but over time, this is what's going to get you to rank higher, right? So a lot of people, Nate, when I hire somebody new to do PPC, the first thing they come in and they tell me, okay, I'm a PPC expert. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to lower your ACOS, right? So the advertising cost of sales, meaning I'm going to increase your return of ad spend. And what comes to mind to me right away is, you are going to kill my sales, right? So at this point, I have keywords that these PPC experts consider that I am losing money on. The reality is I'm losing money on those clicks, but it's growing the organic after, and at the same time, it's stopping competitors from taking that keyword away from me, right? So if I want to be first for a certain keyword, if that keyword generates a ton of organic sales per day, I mean, there are certain keywords that can generate hundreds of sales in a day. If you're number one for PPC for that keyword and you're losing money, let those 100 sales make up for what you lost with, you know, with a few clicks that didn't generate sales, instead of letting anybody else take that away from you. So that's one of the biggest, it's kind of a pet peeve, and at the same time, a mistake that I think a lot of sellers do is focusing on lowering the ACOS so they can have more profit. But in reality, they're killing their sales, not just the paid ones, but the organic ones with time will slow down for that reason, because you're not showing up. And it's not just that you're not showing up, is somebody else is showing up if you don't.
It's interesting all the microeconomics of selling online and all of, you know, how the variables play with one another. And I think it even just doubles down how important it is to have somebody like yourself or the people on your team who understand these nuances and can make sure that, you know, you really are investing for the long haul.
You know what, Nate? One of the important things to remember when you're selling online on a platform that's not yours, let's say Walmart or Amazon or Etsy, eBay, it doesn't matter where it is. All these actions that happen to your account and to your listing, there's no human being that's there deciding who's gonna go where or, right? All these are algorithms. These are all actions from taken from ones and zeros, from code. So when you remember that, you do things differently, right? Because, you know, the only human beings you have to please in this situation are the ones that are there to buy. So remember that. Everything else is ones and zeros.
Nope. I love that. And that's why it's so important to make sure that, you know, you're managing the channels appropriately and you're able to play with the algorithms. Well, Quinn, you know, this has been a great discussion. The last question that I really am interested to hear your thoughts on. We've talked a bit about, you know, the cost of selling online and, you know, what a budget or investment would look like. But if we think about, you know, in putting money towards paid ads and advertising versus optimization of content, you know, how would you break that up, right? I mean, I imagine it's different depending on the stage of the company, but how would you approach that?
Personally, I don't have a set number of what goes where. When it comes to the listings themselves, I tell my team to check the listings daily. So even if it was a listing that we did yesterday, go check it today, because you may find something wrong or something that yesterday was relevant and today isn't. And you'd be surprised how often something that we have in a listing is not relevant anymore. For example, we're approaching now, we're in fourth quarter and Christmas is going to be here soon. So, of course, Christmas gifts, those keywords, Christmas gifts, that's going to be something that's, you know, it's going to be now for the next few months, it's going to be huge. And if until now, for the last, let's say, 9-10 months or whatever, you weren't targeting those keywords, maybe now it's time that you should target those keywords, right? On PPC, for example, on your listings, on the back end of your listings. But these are things that happen only once a year. I'm talking about other changes that even spellings. Right? Because sometimes you have one guy do a listing, have somebody else check that listing and make sure that the spelling or the grammar is also fits the other person that's reading it. So when it comes to listings, we go through them all the time and just try to improve. We call it the 1% improvements. If we can improve something 1% in each account per day, it sounds tiny, but you mean at the end
it's
of the
exponential.
Year, at the end of the year, that's insane, right? Plus, it's compounding. Compounding. I always have trouble compounding. So anyway, we all know what it is. It's the most beautiful thing that was ever created, was that effect. Nope. When it comes to budgets for those campaigns, it depends how well it's working. So if there's a campaign, Nate, that is giving us a 14% return and it is not being squeezed, right, just to look, to get more sales or whatever. So if it is open, it's getting real sales because it is a relevant product. We do not cut budget on that. We let it go. So it could be, one day it could be running at $1,000. If by noon that campaign has spent $1,000, for example, you double it, right? And then if by 3 p.m. it spent the other two, you double it again. We have campaigns that are doing $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 per month. And then, of course, there's others that only do $1,500 or something like that. But none of them will, as long as we can afford it, none of those campaigns, and sometimes, 700 campaigns can be running, none of them will be starved if it is working, right? And working, it could be two ways. One is because it is selling a lot, and other times it's because it is generating what we want it to, right? Even at a loss, but it is getting us increase on rank, and that is very important, right, for tomorrow. Yep,
so it sounds like it's just super important to be flexible with it, right? I mean, you know, whatever you got to spend to maintain your keywords, if that's what you're focused on, to make sure that you're getting valuable clicks, but not saying, well, like we talked about earlier, right? All of the nuanced macroeconomics and the way that the equations and the acronyms play together. It's confusing, and I don't claim to understand it, but that's why I would come to somebody like you and ask questions.
Exactly.
Well, Quinn, you know, I feel like we could definitely keep talking about this for hours, but you know, this has been a great conversation. Where can our listeners get in touch with you if they want to, you know, if they're interested in Prolific Zone or they just want to pick your brain?
Well, Prolific Zone, they can find me through the contact form. It will come to me, or directly quinn@prolificzone.com. Quinn only has one N. It's just Q-U-I-N. You mentioned earlier my podcast was the Fail Fast Podcast, or QA Selling Online. QA is questions and answers, but it's also Quinn Amorim, so kind of play on words there.
I personally love a good pun, and I can definitely say that they're very good podcasts. They're worth checking out wherever you're listening to this one. Well, Quinn, you know, thanks again so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you sharing your time with us, and I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you so much, Nate. It was a pleasure.
That's it for this episode of E-Commerce with Coffee, powered by Amber Engine. If you haven't gotten your fix yet, be sure to get more e-commerce brand secrets on our website at amberengine.com. And don't forget to subscribe for more episodes.